You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with another Super Sunday. How did Burrow's Bengals climb Mount Mahomes to complete the greatest turnaround ever? Plus, a Hollywood ending in La La Land for the hometown galaxy of stars. How the D was the key for the battering Rams. And Tom finally loses to time as Brady walks away. We've got one of his all-time teammates with all the perspective. Oh, we are ready to roll on a Monday. It's time to get up, starting right now. We are presented by T-Mobile, and we are proud to present not only Dan Orlovsky and Rex Ryan, and RC is here. Teddy Bruschi is
my
everybody. All right, let's go. Ready to go on this playoff Monday, and show me RC. Ryan Clark is ready to go today, too. Cindy, roll it. We got 20 minutes to break down the AFC Championship yesterday and the most miraculous turnaround in NFL. Oh, look at him. Look at the style.
I like the change.
Joe and Patrick, and here we go. Mahomes. First off, Dan, how do you stop this?
Yeah, Greeny, you can't when you're on the ground, and that's the thing that stands out. Bengals defensive lineman on the ground allows Patrick to create. Kelsey does a beautiful job coming back to him. Easy touchdown for the Chiefs.
That made it 14-3. It was 21-3. The Bengals desperately needed something, and they get it from Pirine.
Look at Jamar Chase, though. Your all-world wide receiver blocking downfield. Really nice job by Pirine getting to the top of the numbers. This offense needed a touchdown. They get it with effort.
Now, here's your moment, Rex. How do we like the last play of the half?
Oh, brutal. Hey, you know what? Hey, analytics. How about you have no idea what you're talking about here? We'll get into that later.
Where are the points?
But to me, you
have
can't check
points.
That down. It's us or nobody right there. You need the point.
It's a tremendous mistake. Chiefs get no points, so it's 21-10 at the half. Now, Mahomes, Dan, he picked.
No, this is a really nice job by the Bengals defensive line. They bring pressure to the opposite side. You could play a little bit aware on the back end. B.J. Hill, 92. Awesome job getting his hands up and making that interception they needed to take away.
And what does that lead to? Burrow and his favorite guy, Jamar Chase.
Just throw it to him. One-on-one. It's not even one-on-one. It's really two-on-one, but he gives him a great chance to make a play. And then Taylor on a pick route. Big two-point conversion.
They're tied at 21. How do they come all the way back? Fourth quarter, same score. Bengals, 3rd and 7. Burrow, Teddy, how about the athleticism of Joe?
I didn't think he had it in him. I mean, this is he did something in things in this game. I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy looks like Mahomes, Allen. He has that type of ability, and he showcased this. Great,
Chiefs,
great
man,
game.
Can't
great
believe game it. I tell you what else. A great kicker is not a luxury. It's a weapon. Evan McPherson.
Tuck it. Just a baby draw. Starts in the middle of the uprights. Curls just inside of that left upright.
Say baby kick. Draw?
Money
draw?
Baby draw.
24-21 is in favor of the Burrows and the Bengals. And now here comes Mahomes. They need it back here desperately.
Greeny, I thought this was blouses. This is a phenomenal job by Mike Hilton. Eye discipline, not giving that easy throw. And then look at the defensive line by Cincinnati just to continue to pursue Patrick Mahomes.
And so here's the 3rd and goal, under 40 seconds to go. Rex, the defense here, they're doing this on purpose, giving him this time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 3-man rush. But look how relentless they are.
Yeah.
Stay after it. Stay after it. Now I can come out
look
of
at the Hubbard.
It's
look at Hubbard.
Go ahead, Hubbard.
Look at 94,
great play.
Hubbard.
By Hubbard.
Joe Tooney saves the game by falling on the fumble, and then Harrison Butker ties it on the final play of regulation. 5th consecutive playoff game that ends regulation on a field goal that either wins or ties the game. To overtime we go. Well, you got to figure the coin toss means everything, right?
Wrong.
Well, I thought it was over. Once
so did
I saw the Chiefs get the ball, game over.
Look at Josh Allen. He thought it was over, too.
Whatever, Josh.
But
can we play some defense? Let's go.
Somebody play. They don't have to drive 75 yards on you.
It could be an advantage if you make a stop. And
there you
and
go.
And the defense does. There we go.
What a great play by Jesse Bates, man. He saw that same play in the 2nd quarter, right before the half. He makes it late in the game.
So now the Bengals, it's cut. Any points win the game, and he's mixing.
Joe Mixon.
And that sets up this.
He knows.
McPherson back on the field.
Money McPherson. Forget it. Game, set,
match.
Bang. Evan McPherson with 40 points in the playoffs, the most of any player ever, headed to the Super Bowl, which the Bengals are. Patrick Mahomes and company stunned their headed home early. Burrow and the Bengals are on their way to Los Angeles, the most improbable Super Bowl ever.
I think if you would have told me before the season that we'd be going to the Super Bowl, I probably would have called you crazy, but then, you know, we played a whole season and, you know, nothing surprises me now. I know the kind of guys that we have and the team that we have.
Yeah, they just had a spy on me for the most part, and I've usually done a great job of getting around that guy, but they had a good game plan. They were doing this a lot of similar stuff in the first half. We were just executing at a higher level, and they stayed with it. But I mean, I got to be better. I mean, when you're up 21-3 at one point in the game, you can't lose it. And I put that on myself.
He puts it on himself, and the crew is here, and we are ready to dive deeply into this game. Rex, is it right to put this game on Mahomes?
Absolutely. I mean, for Patrick Mahomes, when you play at such a high level, for you to come up so small in that second half of the game, he looked like he lost his confidence in the game. And I know we're going to show some plays later, Dan is, but he just uncomfortable in the pocket. By the way, if this defensive lineman doesn't pick it, mm-hmm. 91 does. So to me, it's like two guys could have intercepted that ball. He turned everything into street ball when he never had to. He's got to let it go. And
Mahomes and lack of confidence, it's just like that's a sentence that you don't really have. I mean, how is that possible?
It shouldn't happen.
You and I were looking at it, and I'm watching the whole time and go, dude, he's lost his confidence. And as a coach, you got to get back to running the football to bring it back a little bit, to not play it, to, you know, let him get ahead of the stick some. He tried to make everything, I'm trying to get separation for my receivers. That's the mark of a guy that lost some confidence in that game. And again, I'm going to get killed on this. I don't care. It's based on 30 years of coaching, mm-hmm. and I know what it looks like. I've had some quarterbacks lose confidence, all right? And I saw it right there. Trust me.
All right, let me get Ryan Clark in. We haven't heard from RC yet today. On the Mahomes of it all, because there was a moment in this game when they were up 21-3, and I think the whole world is thinking after that Buffalo game last week, oh, he's back. Mahomes is back.
Oh, yeah.
He's the best we've ever mm-hmm. seen again. And from that moment forward, RC, what happened?
Well, one, the Cincinnati Bengals back end played exceptionally well. They got out of some of the zone coverages we were seeing early on in the game that Patrick was actually picking apart, right? We talked about the evolution of Patrick Mahomes. He was being patient, taking the checkdowns, taking the open guy. And in the second half, whether it was Mike Hilton, Chidobe Awuzie, whether it was Eli Apple on the outside, guys made plays. And also, the way that they were rushing him was perfect. They had the spy on him, so it wouldn't let him use his legs to create first downs. And they also kept him within the pocket. I think the plan of the Cincinnati Bengals in the second half was absolutely perfect. And it also helps when you get a momentum-building play at the end of the first half. They kept points off the board. When you have the Kansas City within the 5-yard line, that is huge. That team remembered going into halftime, oh, wait, we have come back from an 11-point deficit before against the Kansas City Chiefs. And we saw that the entire second half. The Cincinnati Bengals felt like they were the better team, felt like they were a defense that could stop Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs offense, and they held them to 3 points for the second consecutive game in the entire second half.
Yeah, I mean, the last play of the half, they held them scoreless for so much of that. And Teddy, you were on these defenses in your career that you did that to guys. Peyton Manning and others struggled so much against your defenses. How did they do it? If they took away Patrick Mahomes' confidence in this game, how does that seem possible?
It's almost they weren't afraid of Mahomes to go back there and improvise and let him run around, because we'll be covered strong in the back. What they did, it's a philosophy of, you know, you sacrifice pass rush for pass route disruption, using Hubbard, using Hendrickson, reroute before your rush, reroute, spy, then rush late. Those type of game plan sort of things defensively is what you tell a defense, where three guys that are rushing, you got to hustle and get there and do what you can to get there. We'll help you late, but in the back end, we got to take care of these weapons, and that's what they did.
Danny's got the tape.
Simply put, the reason the Bengals win this football game is because of the unit that we don't talk about, and it is their defense. And their defense does not fear Kansas City. The adjustment at halftime was huge. Now, first of all, the early four-man rush. This is when we saw Patrick use his feet early on. The thing that happens, and Brew, you know this, Rex, you know this, those guys are past Patrick. He now has a rush lane. Everybody has vacated. Yes. This is early on in this football game, and I'm thinking to myself, if they're going to do this, they have no chance. That's in the first half. This is in the first half. You see a three-man rush, but they're playing zone coverage. Patrick's going 1, 2, 3. Great. Now that those two rushers are past Patrick, he can climb the pocket and the spy that's waiting for him has to go get him, but they're in zone, so there's easy completions. Now we flip it to the second half. This is the adjustment that happens. Three-man rush, this is great. Brew, bang those guys at the line of scrimmage like you talked about this option.
Yes.
But look at man coverage. Everybody's playing man. There's nowhere to throw the football to. They condense the window that Patrick's got to play in. Watch Hubbard and Hendrickson's effort here. Look at their effort to chase. Everybody's playing man. It's not zone. It's man, man, man. Watch 91. This is remarkable by Trey Hendrickson. The fact that they don't let this play become a touchdown strictly because of that man coverage, but the relentless effort by Hubbard.
That's what he needed, the oxygen. That's what he needed, the oxygen.
They did the three-man rush three times in the first half. Every time it was zone. Patrick killed it.
And where were they not? Where were they? They weren't behind the quarterback like they were in the first half.
And then they did it
in control. Yes.
Seven times in the second half. All of it was man.
So, Rex, as one of the great defensive coaches in the history of the sport, those are adjustments. Those are in-game adjustments. It's not the plan they went in there they were going to change it. They changed that as the game was going on, and the Chiefs seem to have no counterpunch whatsoever.
No, absolutely. It's a call, Jet Mike Mix, we used to call it. Yeah, and what it does, it helps take away the inside. So, yes, you're in man coverage, but you also have an inside low trap defender who can end up becoming your fourth rusher. That's what they did over and over in this game. But the great thing is, you highlighted great on that tape, you can't go past the quarterback.
Yeah.
What you do, you lay traps in your rush. And watch, anytime you do that, especially in man coverage, you have one high chase defender. Everybody else has to stay low and keep their feet alive. And that's exactly what Cincinnati did. All credit goes to that defensive staff.
When have we seen the best Mahomes in all the highlight plays? It's when he can scramble around and he can do all those things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati wasn't afraid of that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that, because our guys will hustle and get there and force turnovers and keep you in the pocket, and our back end will stay in coverage.
That's so important to point out, I think, because I'm sure a lot of fans are watching this game thinking he's got all day to throw, but that was by design on the defense.
Absolutely is, and what you're taking away his targets. Your two biggest guys, Hill and Kelsey, and you have two high safeties.
Pack the middle, right, Rex?
Absolutely.
They take away the middle of the field.
And they're taking away that quick throw, and now he becomes a fourth rusher, a late contain guy.
Yeah.
They did a brilliant job of it.
Okay, let me get to the play that may very well have turned the entire game and turned the entire season. The last play of the first half, when the Chiefs throw that little swing out to Tyreek Hill. He doesn't get in the end zone. You will see Patrick Mahomes trying to call a timeout. He's not able to do it. Here's Andy Reid after the game with his thoughts on the play.
I was hoping we could get the ball in the end zone. I probably gave him the wrong play, first of all. So to start with, I could have given him something better than that, where the play was open in the end zone, and then we wouldn't have to go through that. But it's I'll take responsibility for that one out.
So you see Mahomes at the end trying to call. The clock has been at zero for like 3 seconds by the time that he's doing that. Is he suggesting that that was the play that they called? Mahomes seems to take one look in the end zone and then go directly to the little swing here. That strikes me as a stunning play if that was what was designed.
Bad play call. Love the decision to go for it. You had just gone that first down. Patrick sprint out left. It's not there. He grounds it. You still have 5 seconds. It took 4 seconds off. I love the fact that they're getting the ball to start the second half. Let's go be aggressive. I hate the play call. This is what I would have loved to have seen. Don't give him a decision. You put Travis Kelce out there by himself, one-on-one. He either runs a slant or a fade. That is
and
the only play.
If it's not
place.
There, what do you do?
Get rid of it.
We're catch and throw.
It's 5 seconds.
Correct.
It's 5 seconds.
We're catch and throw. You are taking the decision-making out of the process for Patrick, because the reality is Patrick needs to be better in this moment. There's no doubt about it. But quarterbacks are trained to just make the decisions. Okay, one's not there. I kick it out because that's my second option. And I love the fact that Andy Reid owned it, but the play design was a poor play design.
Look, I love the fact Andy Reid owned it too. Why? Because that's Andy Reid. He's a legit coach. And not point.
It's got to be on the quarterback too, though.
But no, quarterback, you're right, and it is. Because it's us or nobody. But they always say in the red zone, hey, it's touchdowns or checkdowns. No, it isn't. Not in that situation.
Right.
The one thing you can't do is check. You can't turn it over. You can't check the ball
down.
Is
that the quarterback's fault or the coach's fault?
Well, I think it's, to me, it's on the, you know, the coach always takes the blame.
Right.
So blame it on the coach, absolutely. However, it's on the player. It's, you've got to know in that situation, it's us or nobody in the end zone. I'm throwing a touchdown or I'm taking the 3 points.
It's, let me get our
hey, can we talk about the tackle? Can we talk about the tackle right here, too? That's a great tackle on one of the best in the open field in the league right there by Apple. That's a great tackle, too. So let's give him some credit right there.
Right, he does. He gets outside against the fastest guy in the whole sport. And then Hendrickson is coming on the inside. RC, as we look back on the game right now, how significant is that play?
Listen, that play is huge, and I'm going to be honest, at the time it happened, like, I really wasn't tripping about it. I was like, man, KC's moving up and down the field, you know, they took a shot, and it really was a situation of being overconfident, of having seen something done so many times by your players that you just expect it to happen. If you're Andy Reid, you expect Patrick Mahomes to make the right decision. It's not open in the end zone. I get rid of the football. And if you're Patrick Mahomes, you expect that if you get Tyreek Hill one-on-one with Eli Apple, Eli Strawberry, Eli Great, that he's going to make a play that he's not, and he's not going to be tackled. That's how you feel. And I know that it's wrong. I know that it's a bad decision. But we've said so many times that Patrick Mahomes has done things that we wouldn't coach, things that we don't necessarily think should be done, and those things have worked. I feel like that was another one of those situations. And if you listen to Dan, what Dan started to praise Patrick Mahomes was about making the right play, taking the smart play, and then doing the extra when he needed to. At that point, he didn't need to do the extra. He needed the 3 points. But I think you get so many repetitions of being so much better than everybody else, making plays that no one else can make, and seeing Tyreek Hill be superhuman so many times. If you're Patrick Mahomes, you go, you know what? My guy is always better than the other guy. Let me give him this shot. And this time, it backfires.
All or nothing sometimes isn't right. I mean, all or nothing, seven or nothing. I mean, you got it. Sometimes you just want a little peace. And, you know, and that's how you get there.
And Rex, you were making the point this morning that momentum matters in football.
Absolutely. And you can't measure it. Hey, guess what? All you analytics guys out there, you can't measure momentum. But it is real. It is absolutely real. And when Cincinnati goes in at halftime, after you got a big donut on that drive right there, it makes a huge difference. The confidence. We've come back from 11 points down before. No problem. We got them right where we want them. Trust me. Yeah. They went in there, and Kansas City now comes up with the donut. What happened? Their team played like, like they swallowed the olive, where the Bengals were like, let's play.
2 points I want to make coming off of the play right before the half. So everybody knows, in that moment, you get taught, but also in your ear as a quarterback, hey, this is touchdown to throw it away, and it's got to happen quickly.
Yep.
So the fact that Patrick doesn't just throw this ball through the middle of the uprights is shocking to me, candidly. So, yeah, I want to see a better play call. Patrick knows he's got to be better in that moment. And then speaking of momentum, and RC kind of talked about this, watching Patrick in the second half, it looked like he was chasing that play the whole second half.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he was trying to make up for that play the whole second half. In the first half, he looked like a quarterback that was just taking what the defense was giving him. And then in the second half, it felt like a quarterback that was going to try to take what he wanted. And that's when he got himself into a little bit of trouble. And it talks, Rex, you mentioned it this morning, lack of confidence. There was moments in that second half. There's throws there. There's deep crossers there.
Yeah.
And you're watching the quarterback play, and you go, I've seen you make that throw. He's got Tyreek Hill on a deep cross right there, and he just finds the check down in one hitch. That's not like Patrick Mahomes. He's got another deep cross here, and he just doesn't pull the trigger and instead dances around, and it just feels like he's chasing the end of the first half play.
Okay, in the meantime, let us allow Ryan Clark to wax rhapsodic for a moment about a young fellow whose name is Joseph Lee Burrow. Can't remember, RC, where he went to college, but boy, pretty spectacular what he's done here.
Well, you know what, Greeny? That means you are getting older and you must have had more concussions than me, because if you can't remember that Joe Burrow is a Louisiana State University Bengal Tiger, then you don't remember anything. I'm just going to be honest. Like, Joe Burrow is responsible for the two greatest turnarounds in this millennium, period. In this millennium, Joe Burrow is – I didn't even like Joe Burrow when he first got to school. I was like, this dude got like 16 touchdowns, five picks, and like he's so confident. He's walking around like he's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Well, you know what? He might dang be, Greeny. He takes the LSU Tigers from a team that our best play was the toss, pitch, dive, and then he takes it to a team that has 60 passing touchdowns.
We're
and
the quarterback greatest, blocking.
2019, the greatest college season of all time. And now the Cincinnati Bengals draft him number one overall. And in 2 years, he gets them to the Super Bowl, and you go to Tennessee and you win over the number one seed. You go to Kansas City and you beat Patrick Mahomes. And if you look at Joe Burrow throughout this whole game, even throughout the game against Tennessee, he never, ever blinked. And when you watch a dude walk into a stadium, blinged out with the coat, you can tell he's been in New Orleans way too many times, and he does not care. We gritty in, we get in the gat, we doing everything in Los Angeles because Joe Burrow is that dude, and he is now, to me, and y'all may disagree, he has now put himself at a very young age in conversations with Patrick Mahomes, with Josh Allen, with those guys we consider elite that can carry organizations.
Yes, I hope it was clear I was kidding about the college piece of this, because sitting there with you and Marcus and Booger McFarland, I guarantee you, I'm well aware, having been at that champion, we will have plenty of time to talk about what he did. It is, I think you could make an argument that what they did in these 2 years is as good a turnaround as there has ever been in the history of the NFL. In the meantime, as we continue, the NFC game yesterday, equally spectacular. The Rams superstars shined brightest on Sunday, but will their season have a Hollywood ending? We will break that one down. Plus, oh yeah, the greatest player of all time is retiring. We will get into Tom Brady with his greatest teammate and his greatest rival. As we roll on next, you're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network, and in part by Moonfall in theaters and IMAX on Friday. All right, and you know what RC was talking about it? Joe Burrow, when he won the national championship a couple of years ago, smoking that cigar after the game. Well, how about this moment, Teddy Bruschi, that we'll show you here. These are going to be the dads of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh,
a little victory snow.
As they should right there. Go ahead, proud papa's like, yeah, y'all doubted my kid. Look at us now. What's up now? That's what that photo said.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
That is great.
What a combination, those two. Those two, but the sons. Yeah. That's who I mean.
I like
our tone for. Coming up, a redemption story in La La Land. Not just one, but two. We're talking about Stafford and Odell and the Rams Super Bowl bound. Next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile, and it is time for your wake-up call. One more time, Cincinnati headed to the Super Bowl.
Now the Bengals' Super Bowl chances rest on his right foot. The kick is up. Yeah. It is good! Coffin nails!
Bam! Bam! Bam!
It is no fluke. It is a fact. The Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
That's an excellent call. They're the biggest long shot to reach the title game since 1999, the Kurt Warner Rams. Mm. The Bengals were 125-1 before the season at Caesars. Those odds got longer. They lost to Chicago week two. This is a team that lost to the Jets this year, and here they are. Okay, let us now turn our attention to the NFC championship game yesterday, Daniel, and you will professionally take our way through this highlight as Matthew Stafford and the Rams took on their nemesis, the Niners, who'd beaten them six straight times. But Matthew Stafford is a fellow by the name of Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, going to break this one down. Third and long, we saw it last week against the Bucs. We see it this week against the 49ers. Beautiful throwing catch by Stafford. And
so 7-0 Rams. Jimmy G looking to respond. Deebo Samuel.
Such a special player. There's so many different things you could do with him. They kick the screen out there. Nice blocking out front. But you see the physical runner and then the burst that he has. Huge touchdown for this 49ers offense.
10-7 Niners at the half. 2 minutes to go in the third. Still 10-7. Garoppolo, his tight end is George Kittle.
Attack the coverage. You pull the flat defender. This is a really good throw and catch. Jimmy Garoppolo holds Kittle up versus that zone defense, and he goes up and makes a contested catch. Big touchdown for the 49ers.
17-7 Niners. Last play of the third quarter. Flea flicker.
Yeah, really love the play call. You go handoff and then flea flicker and then screen to your tight end, just really creating a lot of confusion for that defense.
So that's the last play of the third. So they switch sides of the field, and now third and one at the beginning of the fourth.
Great route by Cooper Kupp. You get him in the bunch. He gets the hands off in man coverage. Ball comes out on time. Touchdown for the Rams and much needed.
And then Rex. Aaron Donald gathers his teammates around him, and they respond. How about the stop here on Juszczyk?
Oh, absolutely huge. And this is critical. They won the game. Why? Because of that defense, the way they stepped up.
They did indeed. 10 minutes to play now. Stafford, here's the play that they'll be thinking about forever in San Francisco. Dan, Jaquaski Tart, Rex, it's right in his hands.
Yeah, man. I mean, signal fair catch. For crying out loud, he threw a punt up to you. Catch the dang football.
It's a terrible moment there. But to credit to Stafford, Dan, this is the next play.
And I looked at my wife and said, I don't have that. The ability to come from that play almost kind of ruined the game with interception. And throw an absolute laser hole shot across the field. Special mind talent.
Plus the headshot on Odell from Jimmy Ward. So it's a 42-yard play on the roughness. And then here comes Stafford to Kupp again. That would set up a field goal, so we're tied at 17. Now the Rams' next possession. Three and a half to play. Third and three. Kupp again.
Just spectacular. Going to break it down. Just quarterback to receiver. Know the coverage. How to win. Ball thrown absolutely perfect by the quarterback.
Kupp had 11 catches, 142 yards. That one leads to Matt Gay, a 30-yarder. Donald loves it on the sideline. The Rams are up 20-7. But they need to stop. Jimmy G beat him from this spot just a couple of weeks ago, but this time he doesn't have the chance.
Greeny, Marcus Spears for weeks have told me that 99-40, Vaughn Miller and Aaron Donald are closers for the Rams. They closed on this play. Credit this interception to Aaron Donald.
That's right, Donald, all over the play. It's tipped, it's picked, and the Rams are going back to the Super Bowl. Odell Beckham and Matt Stafford redemption. Deebo Samuel, who doesn't love that guy? He'll be back, but not this year. It's the Rams staying home for the biggest game.
Long time coming, you know. Spent a lot of years in this league and I've loved every minute of it. But I'm just happy and proud to be a part of this group, and we got some more work left to do.
It's tough. It's probably a little different than most of them. Just how much we put into this year. People wrote us off, and we just kept fighting. That's what good teams do. That's what tight brothers do, and you know, I got no regrets from this year.
Okay, so first things first. Dan is played with Matthew Stafford for many years. If you just last week you brought props. Is there going to be a celebration?
No. Last week I was allowed to be a child on national television. Yeah. Good. It's about Matthew. It's not about me.
Good.
The heck with that.
Oh, no.
This is the victory lap. We're running around the studio. I'm going through the whole joint. He's a stat pattern. He can't win the big game. You can't trust him. He's never won in the big moment. Here's the victory lap for America.
Okay. Very well done.
All right. Now I'll be an adult.
Dan is excited. It is about redemption. Let's actually dive into that. The Matt Stafford redemption story has been told about how much this was about him. RC, I want to bring up another name. Odell Beckham Jr. has waited his entire life to get in that game. And while we didn't see a lot of him in the highlight, he had a huge night and played a huge role in this.
Listen, every week Odell Beckham Jr. got better, and he understood that Cooper Kupp was on a chase for history and that he would have to find his spot to continue to gain the trust of Matthew Stafford. We talked a few times throughout the playoffs, and he was like, RC, I'm telling you, I'm the best Odell I've ever been. I'm bigger, I'm faster, I'm stronger, I'm quicker, I'm going to make plays, I'm going to help this team win. And he just kept telling me, I just want to win. And every time we discussed anything, we talked about the team that he was about to play, how he was feeling, it was the same thing. I just want to win. And I believe that's always been him. And I'm going to take it away from the field for a second. Odell Beckham Jr. gets the rap of being whatever it is people want to perceive him as. As Deebo Samuel is on the sideline crying, which he deserved to do because he put this team on his back the entire year. I know what those celebrations are like. Teddy knows what those celebrations are like. For Odell Beckham Jr. to be talked about in the way he was talked about, to be jettisoned from New York, to be cut from Cleveland, and to now do what he did in the NFC Championship and find time to walk over to Deebo Samuel, show him love, show him compassion, and understand what he was going through, tells you what type of person Odell Beckham Jr. is. So stop with all the narratives that he's a locker room killer and teammates hate him and he's a bad dude. No, what he is an elite talent. He's an elite talent that found a way to fit in when the other wide receiver was the true number one of that team, at least. Never complained, continue to work, make huge plays throughout the playoffs and in the NFC Championship, and now get the credit that he deserves as a great player, as a great teammate, and as someone who can make a team better and not make it about himself. There are huge redemption stories on the Los Angeles Rams. I don't believe any bigger than Odell Beckham Jr.
I would actually second that thought. And this is a team that they brought in all these big stars. But in the end, when they needed it most, it was the one who was homegrown, Aaron Donald, who gathered his teammates around him, Rex. And from that moment forward, the defense was ridiculous.
No, absolutely. And how many times you see a guy go over to the sideline and he'll talk?
Yeah.
And then guess what? He doesn't back it up. Aaron Donald backed it up. And he challenged everybody. He goes, you know what? You're supposed to be the best outside rusher. Be the best. I'm going to be the best interior rusher the game's ever seen. You be the best defender. And he challenged his teammates, and guess what? They stepped up. But nobody steps up more than Aaron Donald, and he does it every single game. And it doesn't show up on the stats. Mm. All you analytics guys that don't know anything, it doesn't show up in the stats. He forces every single play. You got to account for this man.
Yeah.
And that defense is why they won. I like the victory lap you did, but without this defense, they don't win that game.
Sure. And that said, Dan, I wanted to give you a moment to catch your breath and now give you a moment to share your thoughts. The Rams are going. Yeah. That's your guy, Stafford. The defense played a huge role. Beckham played a huge role. But Matt Stafford played a long time in Detroit and could only dream about this moment. He's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Greeny, going down 17-7 was the best thing that happened to this football team. And when it happened, I sent a text in our group text and I said, the Rams are going to win this football game. Because Matthew Stafford is at his absolute best when he has no other choice but to be. And that's what happens when they went down in the fourth quarter. He spent 12 years having these moments in Detroit, and when they needed it, it just didn't matter the way it did yesterday. He's been preparing for that moment for a dozen years. 366 days ago, Greeny, you asked me on television, because the trade was yesterday, 1 year ago. You said, what does Matthew Stafford bring this football team, or how is this offense going to be different than it was under Jared Goff? And I told you two things. He's going to be able to throw them to wins when they don't have the run game. They didn't have the run game yesterday. Right. He had to throw him to wins. And then I told you on third down, you can play drop back football and he is good enough. Yesterday on third down, the anticipation and accuracy and ball placement that he had to Cooper Kupp and to RC's point, Odell Beckham Jr. is the difference of the football game. If he's not an elite player on third down yesterday, they lose the game. That's why they traded for him. And I'm so glad because I got a bunch of texts yesterday morning from people and they said, what do you think we're going to get? And I thought, and I responded, America is going to see the best version of Matthew Stafford tonight, and I think they got that.
Real quick, Rex.
Well, I think America saw the best defense that defense could be. They held this team to 50 yards rushing.
Yeah.
The San Francisco 49ers, 50 yards rushing. Of course, you take that and you'd say that the Rams would win that game.
It's a great. We will talk much more about the Niners' side of this and the coach and the quarterback and everything else. Everyone from the Rams had a great day, except for the guy who advises the coach about challenges. That guy we need to have a word with. Oh, I don't know what was going on there.
He fired.
Much more as
he
we go. Fired. Oh, by the way, our big Monday doubleheader is coming your way tonight. Two of the top teams in the ACC get us started. We got Duke and Notre Dame at 7 Eastern, and then a Big 12 battle between number 4 Baylor and West Virginia. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, Teddy's on his way back over because coming up next, the greatest of all time, walking away. We'll talk about Tom Brady with one of his all-time teammates and one of his all-time rivals as we keep getting up with you this morning on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. And one more wake-up call this morning. Hey, Los Angeles, your Rams are staying home for the Super Bowl.
Back to Garoppolo. Pocket crumbling. He spins out. He's hit. He's wrapped up. He flips it forward. It's tipped. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. Aaron Donald got pressure on Garoppolo. And Traven Howard clinches the NFC Championship game. The Rams are staying home to play in Super Bowl 56.
Another unbelievable day in the NFL. And so here are the numbers. There will be a new champion for the 17th consecutive year. Amazing. LA opens up as a 3.5-point favorite. That line quickly moved to 4. Cincinnati at one point was 150-1 to win the Super Bowl this year. Look at them now. Okay. And then, oh, by the way, there's this.
By the way,
Tom Brady, the greatest player that ever played the game of football. He won 193 more games than he lost. That number is more than the 4th all-time winningest quarterback total. He also threw for more touchdowns and passed for more yards than any player ever. He went to 10 Super Bowls. He won 7. That's more than any franchise has. He also has 35 career wins in the playoffs, the same number of postseason wins as the Dallas Cowboys in their history, and he got better with age. He threw more touchdowns and more yards in his 40s than his 20s. He threw 168 touchdowns after turning 40. That's just slightly less than Joe Namath threw in his career, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So, look, you don't need me to tell you, Tom Brady was pretty good. So we got the collection here, and Teddy, we are so delighted you were able to come in this morning. You told an unbelievable story yesterday about Tom helping coach your son Dante on FaceTime.
In his pajamas.
In his pajamas, teaching him how to be a quarterback. What else, when you think about Brady, what else jumps immediately to mind?
I always think of the first championship, and I think it's special when you're on an organization that has never done anything before, and the fan base sort of looks at you like you're second fiddle to the Red Sox or the Celtics, similar to what the Bengals are going through right now. No one thinks they're going to do it. It could be their first. But this 0-1 drive that really broke us through, J.R. Redmond on a couple checkdowns, Troy Brown over the middle on a deep over, you know, and then Jermaine Wiggins, the little out route to just get us in the field goal range, and the way he spiked the ball, Green. Okay, now that was a moment for me because we saw the whole thing happen, but he spikes the ball, and the ball sort of floats up in the air like this, and he puts his left hand out, and it just sort of settles in his left hand. And he poses right there like, I told all of you. I told you, here we are. Go finish it, Vinatieri. And it's like, man, we're on to something here. It's like, did he just do that and pose? You know? So that moment right there was like, wow, breaking through and winning our first is something I'll never forget.
That's 20 years ago, almost this week. It was the year the Super Bowl got pushed into February at a time when they didn't used to, but because of September 11th, everything got pushed back a little bit. So it's a couple of weeks away from being 20 years ago exactly. Did you have any idea? Like, here's this kid, he comes in, Bledsoe gets hurt. Did you have any idea that he was, forget about this, because no one ever turned into this, but just that he was going to genuinely be an all-time great quarterback?
Absolutely not. Not until like the second or third year even. I mean, he was responsible for two touchdowns in that playoff run. Mm-hmm. He scrambled for one in the snow versus the Raiders, and he threw a touchdown to Patton in the Super Bowl. All right, we score twice on special teams. Bledsoe comes in when he gets hurt and throws to Patton in the corner in the AFC Championship because Tom got hurt. And then we score, and then Ty Law scores in the Super Bowl. So it was like, way not to mess it up, Tom. Good job. Mm-hmm. We won the championship. But then it goes from that to all the way that Carolina Panthers Super Bowl, and it's like, we can't stop them anymore. We're gassed defensively. And Brady takes them down the field over and over again, all the way to 2007, him throwing 50 touchdown passes. We don't get that one done. But the roles of him being a complimentary piece and a contributor to being the main piece and the main reason why you get to a Super Bowl and have all that success, I was so, you know, just fortunate to watch it all and experience it all with him.
Rex, how fortunate were you to be in his division all those years?
Another perspective?
a way different perspective. But thanks, Grady, for the memories. But really, what I saw was the greatest competitor and might have been the toughest football player I had ever coached against. And you're right. I had 8 years of just getting my butt kicked by this guy. And I know it's a long list. All right. It just seemed like Brady, though, enjoyed kicking my butt so much better than he did anybody else's. It felt like that to me.
He did that because he respected you.
Yeah, right? But that's what I mean. But he knew I put every damn thing into it and still couldn't beat him. But on one day we beat his butt and to sit back and it's funny, but I'll tell my grandkids about it. Yeah, I beat him. Best of all time. I got him once.
In a playoff game 10 years ago, it unfortunately is the last playoff game to date the New York Jets have won as a football team, but it was in Foxborough, and then you went on and played Ryan Clark's Pittsburgh Steelers the next weekend in the AFC Championship game.
Got smoked by RC.
Well, it was actually a closer game than people remember, but that's neither here nor there. You played against Brady in big games. I mean, so many of them, the Patriots and the Steelers, played all those years. What stands out to you?
Yeah. That he absolutely owned us. That I played for one of the greatest coaches of all time, and Coach Dick LeBeau. I think the greatest defensive mind the NFL has ever seen. And we dominated folks. I mean, we smashed folks. We dominated them physically. We dominated them mentally, emotionally. And that when we played Tom Brady, there was nothing that we could do with him. And it didn't really matter who he was throwing to, who was playing running back. Tom Brady was just better. He always found ways to exploit your defense. He always understood what you were going to do to attack him more than he even understood what his game plan was. And he made those adjustments. Tom Brady, to me, is not only the greatest player to ever play this football game, but he's the game's greatest competitor. He's the game's greatest learner. He's the game's greatest achiever. And you always knew, as long as Tom Brady was a part of the AFC, that the championships went through him. And I think to be that guy and to hold that throne and to kind of be the gatekeeper to rings is a very unique place to be. This dude's had like 5 careers, and Teddy kind of mentioned that. He was a complimentary piece, and then he was a star that won Super Bowls. He was a star who was great offensively and productive and lost Super Bowls, and then he comes back and he wins them again as an older player at MVPs, and then he goes to Tampa. Tom Brady has invented and reinvented himself more than any player in any sport in the history of the major sports in the country of America, and he will be remembered to me as the greatest living American, as John Anderson likes to call him.
Really well said. Danny, just through a quarterback's eyes, I mean, as you, what?
Yeah, I think my favorite attribute about Brady is he understood as a person, as an athlete, but even more so as a quarterback, you're only good as your biggest weakness. You're only as good as your biggest weakness. And he seemed to constantly work to make his weaknesses strength. Weaknesses, strengths. Weaknesses, he's too slow. He's not athletic enough. He's not quick-footed enough. His arm isn't strong enough. And you saw the 2 decades of work to make those weaknesses become strengths, or perceived weaknesses become strengths. I had a coach of mine in college named Rob Ambrose, who's the head coach at Towson right now. When I was a young player, Tom was the best quarterback in football. And he was kind of sharing the story with Tom, and he said, he asked me, who are you competing against? And I said, I don't know, these other quarterbacks in the country. And he said, no, you got to go chase the ghost. And you can never outwork the ghost. And it seems like that's what Tom embodied, was he was always going to chase the ghost, and understanding that he was never going to outwork something he could never attain.
We'll set aside more time for this, but give me a quick final thought.
And just what people don't understand is the leader that he was, and how he knew over the course of his career that I can't win championships without you. Mm. So making those teammates feel like, man, there's such a relationship and a bond, that's how we could do it in New England. Then absolutely go do it in Tampa Bay, because making his teams know that I can't do it without you, come on with me and I'll help you, even if I've got to help your son learn to play quarterback in his underwear.
That is the ring from that game 20 years ago, right? The one you're wearing today.
It is. That's the first one here.
That's the first. It's got to be nice when people say, which ring is that?
Good point. Yes,
because there are options. All right, we'll set aside more time for Brady conversation as we go. It's just a crazy busy day. By the way, we got good college hoops coming your way tomorrow. Big 12 SEC Super Tuesday doubleheader on ESPN and the app. You got Kansas taking on Iowa State, and then number one Auburn hosting arch rival Alabama. Should be a great night of hoops. That's coming up tomorrow. Meanwhile, coming up here, one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen played one of the worst halves of his life. What the actual heck happened to Patrick Mahomes? We dive deep into that as we continue here on Get Up, which as always is brought to you by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. From where you tailgate, only T-Mobile keeps you connected to your team with the most 5G coverage nationwide. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.